Well, thank you, Debbie. I appreciate the kind words. And welcome, everyone, all of our honorees and all of our staff. It's good to be here today. Gina asked me to speak, and I was completely honored and humbled to be here today and be a part of this. I am actually a participant of the certificate, and I earned my certificate a few years ago. So I understand the time commitment, the energy, and the dedication that it takes to achieve this. So I really think that it's a true honor and a true testament to your commitment to teaching. So congratulations, and I would like to give a round of applause for ourselves. So as Debbie mentioned, I serve on the center board, and I also chair the organizational studies program, and that's a really good fit for me because I actually have a background in industrial organizational psychology, so I have a chance to apply my practice as a chair, teach, and do a little bit of research. That said, my true passion really is teaching, and it's always been that way. When I was a kid, and I know I'm going to geek out here by telling you this, but I used to play school in my basement. And so my parents actually found desks, real desks from a classroom, probably 70s, 80s classroom style. They put those downstairs. I had a chalkboard. And I built a podium out of boxes, and I thought that was the neatest thing. Then my aunt, who is a teacher, gave me one of these instruction manuals that had the spiral bound with it, and they had the answers and the questions, and I was just absolutely in heaven. So I asked, since I'm the oldest of four, I invited my younger siblings to come on to my classroom and sit down. And as a 10-year-old, I wasn't sure what kind of wisdom I was necessarily imparting on them. But they were listening, and they seemed attentive, and everything was going great until I decided to assign homework. And at that moment, my sister raised her hand and said, "Can we have a recess break?" And I said, "Sure, you know, that sounds fair." And that recess break has lasted a really long time, I must say. Although some people might say, oh, she was just catching on to her older sister's tricks, I think that was truly my first encounter with student entitlement. And I'll stand by that today. I'm also really pleased to announce that my student retention rates at SLU are much better than that first classroom. And I think that that has a lot to do with what I've learned here at CTTL. And so, you know, clearly I took the role a bit too seriously for my siblings. But I was lucky enough to have some friends who also enjoyed teaching. And so we would play school together. And of the three of us, I teach here at SLU. I have another friend who teaches early childhood special ed, and a third who was an elementary teacher and is now involved with parents as teachers. And so we all ended up in education. And I just think that's a really exciting thing because for me, that passion was always there. And even though I didn't know as a kid it would eventually rival a new passion, which was psychology, specifically industrial organizational psychology, I found it to be most interesting. And so in our field as IO psychologists, when we study the workplace, there's a concept that's called role identification. And I'm not sure if any of you have come across that. What that means basically is that people classify their identification at work, how their work will be, in three different categories. Some people will call it a job, and for those people, they're working just to earn money. So they might not like what they do, but they definitely are able to bring home a paycheck. The second group is going to focus on a career. And so those folks are going to do whatever work they need to do to get to the next step on the career ladder. Sometimes they like it, sometimes they might not, but ultimately they're advancing and it works for them. And then the third group define their work as a calling. And these are the people who find the most meaning in the work themselves. And so they will work for less pay and less benefits just because the work itself is so exciting for them. And I'm willing to bet that many of you have experienced a calling toward research or teaching. After all, we are in academia, and it's not always for the pay or the benefits. So like me, some of you may have had an interest in teaching all along, or you may have even been called toward it. I won't make you get into your own childhood embarrassing teaching moments, but if you want to geek out with me after the ceremony, we can talk back there. And so some of you might have started with that passion, and others may have had a primary interest in your field and then later developed an interest in teaching to support your career as a researcher. Either way, we're all here today. And so what impresses me the most is that you're not treating your role as a teacher as a job, something that you have to do to pay the bills or something that you have to do to be able to do research or to practice. But instead, your commitment to earning the certificate shows that you're embracing teaching as part of your career or your calling. So whether you're working full-time in academia or full-time as a practitioner and teaching as an adjunct, the skills that you learned in the certificate will enable you to share your expertise with others in what I hope is an effective way. And it's in that spirit of your own professional development and the potential impact that you can have on your students that we can really celebrate your commitment to teaching today. So for those of you who are going into academia, I think that having a passion for both teaching and research is really going to be your ticket to a true calling in academia. Because teaching will make you a better researcher. You are able to revisit old concepts and even see them from a new light from your students. And at the same time, research is going to make you a better teacher because you can bring in the current trends and the exciting new findings into your classroom. So these two activities are very much related, and in fact, they support each other. And I think we could say the same for practitioners. Bringing applied work and realistic examples of what students need to have competent skills, knowledge, and abilities to go out into the workforce will certainly enhance your classroom. And at the same time, those interactions with your students can tentatively help you to rethink some of your own practices. So as I progress into my educational career and into the role of the assistant professor, I moved from that classroom in the basement to college classrooms, distance learning, and even the Herman Miller studio. And I never thought that I would be teaching in those learning spaces. And I think that my calling to teaching and my openness to exploring different learning modalities is what brings me here today. And as our world evolves and changes, I hope that in the same way, you may also find yourself in learning spaces that you didn't think you would be in. And so I'm often reminded by that Michael Franti song, "The More I See, The Less I Know." Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm not going to sing it for you, trust me. I've already told you I taught in my basement. I don't need to sing too. But you know the song. So this happens. The more I see, the less I know. It happens in all fields as new findings are discovered. But then I think it also happens in the classroom. It's okay to try something new and not have it go as well as expected. And what works on one group of students or what works in one learning space instead of another may not be as effective with another group. I learned this from assigning homework to my younger siblings. I'm still not sure what I was thinking back then, but regardless, I learned you have to know your audience. The college students, they expect homework. The 8, 6, and 3-year-old did not expect homework. And so this is where there's more of that art to teaching as opposed to the science. So even though we can't avoid homework in the classroom or any kind of assessment, it is important to remember why you're called to be here today and to teach. And I think for many of us, it's to have fun. If you're not enjoying your lecture or your material or your activity, trust me, nobody else is either. And for me, the center has allowed me to explore creative new ways to present new content and old content, and they help me to keep things as fresh and light and enjoyable as possible. And so through the direction of the instructional designers and my colleagues who give talks at CTTL workshops and conferences, I'm continually encouraged to tweak my classes and make things a little bit better, I hope, for my students. And so this is my commitment and my goal to teaching, and is to hopefully keep me engaged, and I would like to see that energy translate then to my students. So although you have finished this important milestone in your development as a teacher today, I hope it's just the start of your progress toward making your calling a reality. And the personal growth and development won't necessarily end here. And as a teacher, it really should never stop. And so for those of you who are going to be here at SLU, I hope that I get to see you in the future and learn from you in conversations and workshops and other CTTL events. And maybe I'll be lucky enough to hear how you were called to teaching or some of the neat things that you're doing in your classes. If you're leaving SLU, there's also possibilities at the institutions where you'll be working someday. I can't promise that the team's going to be as great as Debbie and Gina and Kella and all the folks who are here, but there is support there for you. And so I wish you the best as you take the ideas and the principles that you have learned from CTTL and you put it into your classroom. I hope that your classroom is full of engaged students who want to be there and much better lighting than what I had in my basement. So I commend you, and I admire the dedication that you have to really taking the time and the energy to making this certificate happen. It really deserves celebration. I think your future students are going to thank you. So you have my wholehearted congratulations, and I appreciate you letting me be here with you today. Thank you so much.